As we think about the songs we sung as I sat there singing this evening, I thought about exactly why is it we're here. And I'm talking about faith tonight. We're here because, first of all, we believe in God. I teach a small children's class at home each Sunday evening at 4:45. I've got about 11 that fight for seats in the front row of one of our pews. We have a 10-minute class. And they memorize Genesis 1:1. These are youngsters, three-year, four-year-old youngsters. And in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And I told them sometimes just to stop in the beginning, God, and just recognize that. We're here tonight because we believe that God is. And of course, that God is creator of all things. We're here tonight because we believe and have faith that God loves us. And that God has set forth that eternal plan before time on earth began. For my salvation and for your salvation. We're here tonight because we have faith that God has something else prepared for us that's better than this life. One sermon I deleted from my short list is simply entitled, God Has Something Better For Us. I'm not going to preach that one first, but it's just a thought. But we're here tonight because we believe that God is faithful to every promise that he has ever made. And so we have assurance, as Paul did, when Paul says, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that, which I've committed unto him against that day. So we can share Paul's assurance, and we do. His confidence in God's faithfulness to every promise that he has ever made to us. And so we're here tonight because we have faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now it goes on to say, but he that believeth that Jesus is, I'm sorry from the beginning. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But the first part of that passage, without faith, it is impossible. You and I, to one day gain heaven, one thing I believe with all my heart and fiber is, I think for me to attain that, it's going to take every ounce of faith that I can muster, every ounce of faith that I can acquire through study and through prayer, we talked about in one of our studies this morning. It's going to take all the faith that I think that I can gather up, the strength that I gain from you, the instruction and the strength that I gained from my parents as I saw their faith and I saw their lives and their faithful service to God. Those with whom I associate at home, my wife, who's been an encouragement to me. If I make heaven, it'll be because of all the influences and the faith of those about me and that I've striven my best to get my faith to be as strong as it possibly can. Because I believe without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is defined back in verse 1 of that same chapter, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what Brendan and I memorized as children from the King James Version. The American Standard says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so we have assurance of those things that we hope for. Even as Jesus in John 14:1, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in the Father, believe also in me. And so we have the assurance, as he continues to say, that he's gone to prepare that place for us. And we have a conviction that he's coming again. Even this morning, as we surrounded the Lord's table, we did so to commemorate his death, first of all. But also, as Paul says, we declared our faith in the fact that Jesus is coming again. By faith and by the power of God. We believe Jesus is coming again. We have faith. And there's no reservation in our minds that we believe that Jesus is coming again. And so tonight, I want us to take a second and just pause and ask the question, how far will my faith take me? So it's really an examination of each of us tonight. How strong is my faith? Do I have the assurance of Paul? Do I have heaven set in my sight? And am I very, very certain that my faith is strong enough to take me all the way home to be with God? I want to begin in John chapter 6. Look at a few verses here, not the entire chapter. Jesus goes across the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. And the observation is made here in John chapter 6 and verse 2 that there was a multitude who would follow after him. Now, sometimes Jesus called them disciples. As you look at John 6 and other chapters, you've got to differentiate between the apostles and the disciples. And you see that latter part of this chapter. Well, disciple sometimes meant those who were following after him. That's what the word disciple means. And so there were those who were following after him. And the Bible simply says they followed him because they saw his miracles. That's how far their faith would take them. Because if you come down to verse 31, they say to him, "Why, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe?" Many in the days of Jesus were ever looking for another sign. Their faith was no stronger, took them no further than the next miracle that they saw Jesus perform. They could see him heal the leper, restore sight to the blind, raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet some would still ask, "Lord, show us a sign." Remember Matthew 12? Jesus, maybe a little bit perturbed, he said, "I'll give you no more other sign except the sign of Jonah." And so Jesus in his day encountered those whose faith did not take them any further than the next miracle. And so they said, "Show us a sign." It's interesting here, they said, having reference to the man in the wilderness. Now we know from the context, they attributed that to Moses. And Jesus said, "Now what Moses gave you that bread, your father's bread, that was God." Now, what's interesting about this manna, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, let me ask you a question. If you had been there on that occasion and you saw the discussion between Jesus and Philip, and the question asked, "What are these among so many?" and you saw Jesus take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000. Now, would that one miracle not have lasted you a lifetime? You think that miracle would have just, you never ever would have again doubted who Jesus was, and your faith would be strong. Well, I would hope it would have been for me, but I'm not sure. Folks tend to be about the same. And this multitude, no doubt many of them, not most, had seen that miracle performed. And now that may be why they use manna as a reference. And they say, "Show us another sign." Well, their faith didn't take them very far. Their faith took them as far as the next miracle that they saw. Jesus said in verse 26, he says, "You seek me not because of the miracles." It's an interesting chapter. Jesus is sort of sifting the people. Nowadays, you don't use a sifter anymore. Those of you who are older, remember the old flour sifter. It'd have lumps in it, and you'd have to sift it out. Mother would make biscuits, and she'd sift the flour, get the lumps out. That's what Jesus is doing here in John 6. He's sort of sifting the people, trying to determine who isn't among them and had the real faith that would lead them ultimately to heaven. And so he had those whose faith would take them to the next miracle. Here he says, "You follow me just because you ate and you were filled." And he says, as long as the food keeps coming, well, your faith is all right. But if food runs out, their faith would run out. And so we began to see in the Bible that some people believed, but yet their faith didn't take them near far enough. Now, this passage gets more challenging to them as Jesus continues to teach the same multitude who followed him. He says, "I'm the bread of life come down out of heaven." Well, that caused them a lot of consternation. And then he says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have eternal life." What a better this text says, this is the son of Joseph of Nazareth. What does he mean? We eat his flesh and drink his blood. How can we do that? They didn't have the faith to discern the great spiritual truth that Jesus was trying to get them to understand. That is their faith in him as Jesus, the Son of God, come down out of heaven as Emmanuel, the Son of God, on earth as the Son of Man. As he speaks of the sacrifice that he, as the Son of Man, would make on the cross for their sins. They were not able to grasp that spiritual truth. And so as he taught them, verse 60, they said, why, that's just a hard saying. Well, I think sometimes our faith may be like that. Our faith, we think, is pretty strong and we're doing pretty well until something difficult comes along and all of a sudden our faith just sort of falls apart and our faithfulness is affected. See, there's a great link between faith and faithfulness. If we want to know how strong our faith is, we just examine how strong our faithfulness is. And that'll be a good barometer as to how strong our faith actually is. And so, when it got so tough, down in verse 66, upon this saying, many went back and followed him no more, there in verse 66. So tonight, as we noted this morning in one of our studies, difficult times will come and our faith is going to be challenged. Do we have the strength of faith that's going to enable us to encounter any and all challenge in life and one day lead us home to heaven? If you look at Matthew's account of this, about the same time they go back across the sea, it's the fourth watch, sometime between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. They're in a boat. The apostles are. And Jesus comes. They say, well, it looks like a ghost out in the water. And Jesus says, it's me, and his Lord is you. And Peter says, my Lord, if it's you, you bid me to come out on the water. Now, there were already waves about. The text there tells us, Matthew chapter 14. Now, Peter's faith took him out of the boat and onto the water. Now, think about that. You're the next time you're on the Illinois River. Think about that. You got enough faith to step out of the boat without knowing where the rocks are at? Well, Peter had faith. But notice what happens. Peter began to look around. And when he saw the waves and the seas, he became afraid and he began to sink in the water. And of course, the Lord reaches out, takes him by the hand, takes him into the boat. Well, we admire his faith. I'm not sure I would have ever stepped out of the boat. He may have had a greater faith than I do. And yet his faith didn't take him far enough. Jesus says, Peter, come to me. Here's the Lord on the water. His faith just didn't take him all the way to Jesus. And there are many today in that situation. Their faith just doesn't take them all the way to Jesus. They have faith, but just doesn't take them quite far enough. Doesn't take them all the way. We mentioned this the other night. I won't spend much time on this passage, except it's a good illustration. Here Jesus has been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter demonstrates faith. He at least follows. He comes into the courtyard. The maiden opens the door. He comes in. He's out to the fire, warming himself because it was cold, the text tells us. And here he denies Jesus 3 times. And so Peter demonstrated faith by coming to the house that night. And yet his faith just didn't take him far enough. His faith, when put to the test, while you're of Galilee, you were with him. You know, I don't know him. He had faith, but it didn't take him far enough on that occasion. Mark 10, another good example. Here's a young man, a young ruler. He comes running to Jesus. and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He had faith in Jesus and who he was. He had faith in eternal life. He knew it was something to be sought after. And he said, "Well, what must I do?" And Jesus said, "Well, keep the law." He said, "Well, all these I've kept from my youth up." Well, that's quite an accommodation for this young man. But his faith ended at that point. "Well, Jesus, well, there's just one more thing you lack." You know, if Jesus were to speak to me tonight and say, "Jerry, you're doing pretty good, or just one thing," I think I would be pretty elated. If there's only one thing Jesus thought I was lacking, but I think I lack many, we would think we'd be inclined to be glad to do one thing. But his faith wasn't strong enough. When Jesus said, "You go sell what you have and give the poor, then come follow me." See, he just wasn't ready to do that. He kept the law. But when he was asked to give up all that he had and follow Jesus, he just was not ready to go do that. And so the text says that he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, his faith didn't take him far enough. And that's a simple point. The lesson tonight has one very simple point I want us to leave here tonight with. Is my faith strong enough to take me all the way through this life, through every trial, through every temptation, to the door of death itself? Is my faith strong enough to lead me through that moment of death into Abraham's bosom? That's really the lesson tonight. How far will your faith take you? Jesus says this: "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So our first test of faith is, do I have the faith that I'm going to deny myself? You know, we live in a very opulent country, very wealthy country. And we don't do very much denying of self, do we? We generally, for the most part, we do about what we want, and oftentimes we get about what we want. And so this idea of denying self, we aren't just too accustomed to that idea of denying ourselves. But Jesus says, "You're going to come after me, you've got to deny yourself." And so my first test is, will my faith take me there? Will my faith lead me to the point where I'm willing to deny myself that I might serve Christ faithfully? The second test is then you take up your cross. You take up your cross. You go to work. You're willing to make sacrifices for Christ. He went to the cross for us. And so will my faith enable me to make the sacrifices in life as he did? And then he says, when you do that, if you're able to deny yourself and take up your cross, well, then you're right, and you're able to follow after me. And when I start following him, is my faith going to take me all the way? You might begin following, but somewhere along the way, many just fall on the wayside because their faith was not strong enough. There have been many, I wouldn't begin to mention names, in this building, other buildings in this city, down through the years, who we have confidence had that faith that led them through difficult times, and I believe took them all the way home into paradise. Do I have that faith? Well, one of my favorite Bible stories, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've thought about them a lot through the years, and I've put myself in their position so many times. Here, they're threatened with death. If they don't bow down and worship that golden image, they'll be thrown in the fiery furnace. And they're brought before King Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in the world. And the text tells he became angry. His visage changed, his countenance changed, angry. And he said, "This is a purpose. Why won't you bow down and worship his image?" Of course, they said, "Why? We don't even need to give you an answer." So you know why. What a great declaration of faith. But these three young men had a faith that took them all the way into the fiery furnace. I've often wondered, how far would I have gone? How far would my faith have taken me? The Bible says there were four in the furnace. If you had been there, would it have been five? Or just been four? I wonder. What a great test of faith. These young men, they had the faith that took them all the way into the fiery furnace. Their companion, Daniel, chapter 6. Here is Daniel, again, charged with not bowing down to any except the king. But he did as he always did. He turned toward Jerusalem and he prayed three times a day. Thrown in the lion's den. Again, his faith took him all the way in the lion's den. How far? So the question is to me, how far would my faith take me if I run that situation? I mentioned Antipas the other night in a lesson. One of my favorite Bible characters. This was a very difficult time for Christians. We noted this the other night. A quotation from the Roman governor. The Roman governor, as he talks about Christians, he talks about Antipas, because we have him by name. He could have said, you know, that man Antipas there in Pergamon, I gave him an opportunity to renounce his faith in Christ. We notice from Acts 26, Paul says, why, I caused them to blaspheme. I tried to get them to deny their faith in Christ. What a tremendous faith Antipas had. Because Antipas died. And he still speaks to us today. As God says of him, Antipas, my faithful martyr who was slain in your midst. What a challenge to our thinking and to our faith. So as we ask the question tonight, how far will my faith take me? You know, we live in a very turbulent time, in a very turbulent world. We don't know, and I wouldn't pretend to predict what might happen in this world. But it's very conceivable that in your lifetime or the lifetime of your children or your grandchildren, they might be presented with some challenges very similar to this. When you look at all the changes in the world just in the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, rapid changes, how far will the faith of your children take them? How far will the faith of your grandchildren take them? That's not our study tonight. Be a good study. The admonition of parents is, I need to do all I can to strengthen their faith. Teach them, pray with them, strengthen their faith so their faith will take them through the trials of life. Well, we ask some questions. Many people are persuaded that God is and God is good. Many people believe that Jesus is real. They believe that Jesus came and he lived and he died. Many are persuaded he died for their sins. He's the Savior of the world. But our faith has got to take us beyond that. As we come down to the end of our meeting and our studies, tonight will your faith take you to repentance? Not a one-time repentance, but will your faith take you tonight if you need to change your life to become a Christian? If you're not. If you need to change your life because there's sin in your life, tonight does your faith take you far enough to where you say, yes, I need to do that. I'm going to do it tonight. Will your faith take you to repentance? Will your faith bring you to make that good confession that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, living God? God demands that of us. The man on that lonely road saw that water, and he said, what hinders me from being baptized? He said, well, if you believe, you may. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. We have the faith, not just one time in our life, But throughout the days of our life, we have the faith that will allow us, enable us to confess Christ as our Lord. When we're among friends, and there are some easy tests. Have you ever sat down in the cafeteria where you work to eat? And because of who's sitting there, you feel uneasy about just bowing your head and offering thanks? It's a pretty easy test, isn't it? Do things like that make us uneasy? A simple test. Do I have the faith to declare without reservation my faith in Jesus as a Christ, the Son of God? Do I have the faith as that man did? See, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? Do you have the faith? If you haven't been baptized, do it tonight to become a child of God. Do I have the faith that when I have sin in my life and I know my life is not right with God, to go to God in prayer and say, God, please forgive me. Now, we all need that faith. We're all going to come to this point. We come to this point at times where we fall short. And may our faith ever be strong enough and we are humble enough to say, God, forgive me. Help me to do better. And I'm ready to start right now to start doing better. If tonight your life is not right, make it right with God. Make it right. Have that resolve. Without faith, it is simply impossible. Faith will lead us through victories in life, and only faith. I love the song we sang tonight. I appreciate the song. Faith is the victory. I believe that's what the Hebrew writer is trying to tell us. Faith is the victory. Without faith, impossible. Please God. It's faith that will take us home. May we all join tonight with this passage here in Hebrews, where a writer says that we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition. We're not of them that are going to give up. We're not of that number that's going to quit. We're not of that number who's got a weak faith that's not going to take them all the way. We are not of that number. May we join with that resolve. May those of you here at Pekin that worship regularly together, may you work with one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another, that as a group you have that resolve as a body of God's people. And may all of us do that wherever we normally worship and saints we work with. Strengthen one another where we can say that we have a faith that's not going to quit, and we have a faith that's going to persevere. We are not of those who shrink back, but we have faith unto the saving of the soul. That's the faith we must have. Not should have. Not maybe have. That's a faith that we must have. Because Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Without faith, we're just not going to get it. So tonight, again, a very simple point. Will my faith take me all the way through life? Is it strong enough? So as we look tonight at ourselves and no one else, we see our faith is weak. We better study more. We better pray more. That's how we're going to strengthen our faith. We better be in the assembly of God's people where we can be strengthened by one another. And here tonight, and your life is not right. Why not make right as we stand and sing?